Where's Randy? Randy sometimes has problems.
Yeah, just said something about unknown error.
Yeah, but it's Randall. He has problems anyway, so.
Aww.
Well, no, we all do, though. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Hi. I'm doing okay. How you doing?
It's very cool talking to you.
Oh, thanks. It's cool talking to you.
I'm doing well.
I've been told that I should make you guys draw. That's what we should do.
I thought we did that already.
Yeah?
Yeah, I was pretty much aware.
I don't know.
Was there more specifics to it, or?
It was draw something in each other's styles.
Oh God, I have something. All right, hold on. God bless my new organizational system. No, like, I'm finding art that I never finished inking from, like, Gen Con, like, 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I have a, what is it, Dr. McStab, or Dagger McStab.
Mm-hmm.
Before he had the mustache.
Oh, nice.
Or after he had the mustache. Which was first? After, okay.
Yeah, mustache was first, yeah.
Yeah, because the exclamation mark, like, belt slot item or whatever it was,
mm-hmm.
Just screamed something I would put on my character. I had a rogue that actually had a fake Halloween costume halo.
Nice.
And it was just like, and eventually we just started hanging things to it. And it was just, you know, it was just a blatant lie. But the name of my rogue was Honest. So, you know, it just... Oh, Lord. But, yeah, I will find that.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I'm tethered to the computer, but what do they call those, dog leashes for kids?
Yeah, the little vest you wear.
Oh, wait, how do you know? Are you watching me?
I've heard things.
Oh, God.
There's, like, a whole blog about that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm sure there is.
No, just a blog about you. Seriously.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really unfortunate. That depends. What year was it dated?
I think it's been running for a while. It's a chronicle. They've been covering it for a while now. Yeah.
Oh, man. So they're probably pissed at me about the whole D&D thing.
Yeah, we've seen the highs and lows. Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, no. We'll bring up the highs and lows, I'm sure.
Just to
wait. Oh,
butt
wait.
In here.
No.
Yes, why, I'm gonna talk over you.
Why is there a girl here? What's going on?
So normally we don't edit out the beginning, but mm-hmm. I can if you guys don't want this part to be out there.
I don't care.
Okay.
Right. Did I say anything racist? No.
Not
no.
Yet. Not yet, but the night's young. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Oh God. Why did they leave me in charge? Where's Randall?
Oh, because Randall's not here.
Yeah.
Pawpaw's still trying to work around the technology part of it. Yeah.
I know. Cause I think he lost internet because I sent him another direct message and I haven't heard back yet. I don't know. I might have his phone number somewhere. So this is fun.
Yeah. Tonight's broadcast is brought to you by alcohol.
How did you know?
No, of course.
It's a DMR, so.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, I mean, you guys need a sponsor of some sort.
I know.
You know, although the other podcasts really need to do full product integration on that.
Oh.
Yeah, you know, instead of things being, oh, yeah, I really liked that, it was like, no, that was Goodman Games awesome. Like, just embrace it.
This is Taco Bell-licious.
Oh, man.
Taco Bell.
Oh, God. Wait, there's that weird Dorito thing going on, isn't there?
The Taco Doritos?
Yeah.
Dorito tacos or whatever?
Yeah. Taco Bell does not exist in Europe.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, well, because there's this weird law in Europe that says you can't have food that isn't what it actually... you can't call a food something that it totally is not. Which you think would be a no-brainer, but Taco Bell cannot exist without chemical meat substitutes and stuff. It's really weird. Yeah, it's just one of the... Well, it's also why you can't get cereal with marshmallows here. I'm just a giant toddler, so these are the petty little things I miss.
No, seriously, you can't get, like, you know, fucking Lucky Charms there.
No, you can get it at the expat store, but how much would you pay for a box of Lucky Charms?
How much would I personally pay for a box of Lucky Charms? All right,
yes, right now, if a leprechaun appeared and offered you cereal,
how many gold pieces would you give up?
How many gold pieces would I give for a box of Lucky Charms? At least 5.
Okay.
I would give that up. I mean, if we're talking Frankenberry...
Oh, man. Don't tease me, you bastard.
Hey, there we are.
Hey, Randy.
Oh, crap, he's on. Everyone shut up.
That's right.
Hey.
Hey.
This is going to be an awesome night, Randall.
How's it going?
It will be.
Oh.
They've already asked why there's a girl on the show, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. I mean, you're just here to kind of, like, get us drinks and stuff, right?
Exactly.
Affirmative action.
Yeah. Oh, man. God, that. Oh,
well,
man.
Like, you were doing it, I just joined in.
What?
I saw the cool kids were doing it, I followed them.
Yeah, oh, man, yeah.
Brian, you know better.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. He is the proper southern gentleman, Jared, he really is.
I do try to be.
Yeah, where are you? Like,
I'm based out of Tennessee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Yeah, I grew up in Jacksonville, Florida.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Which is not technically the South, right?
Oh, yeah, no. We're actually too South to be in the South. It's kind of nice.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Did you see that, Randall?
Hold on, I don't have the chat window up. Just a second.
Oh,
really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
There's visuals?
No.
Oh.
Oh, you're talking about drawing Tracy's boobs. Okay, look, at this point, every artist has drawn Tracy's boobs, so look.
Quite possibly, yes.
Yep. And was chastised for how I drew them.
You know? Who chastised you?
You!
I just said you gave me... Anyways.
I listened to that podcast today. This was a pixelation issue, wasn't it?
No, the other guys got pixelated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Larry's junk was pixelated.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Well, that makes
which
no
for,
sense.
For which we're all grateful, actually.
Oh.
So.
But pixelated badly.
We should probably introduce ourselves, because we have two new people. And,
oh, God.
I know, providing order to chaos here. But, so... Brian, go.
Hi, I'm Brian. this is my first meeting.
Welcome. Hi, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
Hi, Brian.
Yeah, this is my first time here. I'm Brian. I draw a D20 monkey. And I'm a DM.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Draw the shit out of it. That's right.
Oh, wow. We're going there already. Wonderful.
That's pretty much all I've got. Yeah. I think they knew what they signed on for when they asked me to be on the show. So.
Oh, man.
I got a seatbelt on.
Yeah, to each their own. I decided to wear pants.
Yay. I thought we had a memo that we weren't.
Yeah, that was supposed to be between you and me. My name is Jared, and Jared von Hindemann, and I'm a Scorpio. I like long walks on the beach, and I write D&D Outsider, and I do terrible art. And that is my passion, or something like that. I don't know. I don't have a spiel. I don't talk about myself. Mm-hmm. So I exist, and I'm happy to be here, and this is the first podcast-type thing I've ever been on.
Oh, you're kidding me. Really?
Real virgin.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like this is what all the cool kids do. I'm not cool enough for that.
We could have dueling artists on the show now.
Oh, yes.
That'd be awesome. We have an artist.
That'll make for great radio.
Won't it?
Oh, man.
How does that work? Yeah, really. Two people the work in a visual medium, and go.
No. Well, the problem with your scenario is that you have an artist, and then you have me.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's mean.
That's the truth.
Oh,
man. You guys are both great artists.
Oh,
different styles, but great artists.
Yeah, so. Dude, don't knock yourself. It's
no, Jared's actually, the reason I say he's an artist is Jared's actually legit. You know, he uses he uses actual, you know, actual medium. You know, and I'm just
we could put the E on the end of it, I guess.
Oh,
you call him an artiste.
Oh, and he lives in Germany and everything.
I know. Oh, so that makes him an artiste.
Man. Oh god. Whereas,
now Brian, I don't know. Do you consider yourself a cartoonist?
Yeah, I'm more of a cartoonist.
Because those are two, I mean, completely, I mean, those are kind of separate, but, you know, they're both art mediums. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think I stumbled into the art definition because I got started doing this. I mean, I drew as a kid, and I took some classes and stuff, but no one ever told me you could ever make money off of it, so I was told to get a real job.
I told my son too, who's a guitarist, so that's okay.
Oh, nice. But better than a philosophy major.
Definitely.
I ended up getting a degree in film and moved to Germany. Could not find work to save my life. So for sanity, do you know the game Kingdom of Loathing?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a stick figure browser game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, sure.
That is, besides Final Fantasy, my main introduction to fantasy role-playing was a parody of World of Warcraft and Dungeons & Dragons and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I started as a guy who, on the art forums, painted people's retarded characters for in-game currency. It is a shameful start, but that was the ego boost that got me started. And I don't know, man. You're just as much of an artist as me.
Oh man, I do my thing.
Well, no, we all do. But I mean, you do it for fun, and you know, and if people call you names, and one of those names happens to be artist, just you know, grab it and run.
That's all I basically do. Yeah, there's a list of comments that come my way, and I find one to go, oh, yeah, I'll hook onto that one. Sure, that works.
Oh,
and,
man.
And go from there, you know.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, I think it's the reason anybody gets into this sort of thing. It's just because you love to do it. And, you know, I did basically the same thing you did. I drew as a kid, and then, you know, eventually you just keep drawing over the years, and you basically find a, you know, you find a medium that works for you, and you just have fun. So,
Definitely.
I'm so envious of both of you. I mean, I think just this month I can now finally consider myself a writer. So, what with the announcement in Dungeon? So,
well, what announcement month, is that? Pimp yourself, my friend.
I have an article on in Dungeon this month. So,
woohoo!
My very first paid gig. Yes.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Which one?
So, the Far Realm one.
Nice.
Yes. You're not going to tell us anymore, are you?
No, I can't. NDA.
Yeah. I've never heard that before.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah,
I mean, when it's released in a couple of weeks, I mean, it's on the announcement page, but I can't say any really more than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but then everyone will know, like, and we'll just be like common schlubs. Come on.
I knew Randall before he was famous.
Yeah, I know. That's,
If we weren't recording, I'd spill more, but I can't. So.
Oh, okay. I did hit the record button. Yay, me.
Yeah. Nice.
Why wouldn't you lie? What is wrong with you? Yes, we are not recording, comrade. Oh, man. Yeah, but no, that's really awesome.
So I'm excited about that, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to ask you the question that 1,000 people have asked, because I think it's just sort of a thing. How did you get started writing? How did you get that gig?
You know, I actually didn't start writing until I was an adult, and my kids were getting fairly older. I mean, I've always, you know, played Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, I'm the old guy of the group, being 45, so.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
But,
no, sorry. Oh yeah, no. When I went to the first D&D game day that I got tricked into going to,
right.
I thought at 26, 27, I would be the oldest one there. Oh, yeah, man.
There's still some of us old dudes around, man.
Yeah, how wrong I was. Please go on.
But, no, I started writing things for my wife, actually. You know, little thing. I hated cards. I hated getting cards and the crappy schmaltz that's always on the inside of the cards. So I started getting blank cards and just writing her little stories and things about what was going on or in our relationship at the time or whatever. And regardless of whether it was Valentine's or Mother's Day or whatever, I'd write her little stories. And these got more and more evolved.
Like dirtier.
Well, yeah. There's been a couple of those maybe. But
I never thought this sort of thing would happen to me.
Yeah. That's right, exactly.
Oh, subscribe now to be a gold member to get those messages.
$4.99 a minute, yeah. Oh, but anyway, started writing like those kinds of things and then realized that, wow, you know, maybe I'm not too bad at this, and did some more with you know, writing for game stuff and things like that, you know, D&D type stuff, and just went from there, and I figured, you know, let's give it a shot. And I had this great idea, and I thought, let's throw that one out there, and it stuck. So,
awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't know why, but I'm more proud of my writing than I am my art. Like,
well, you're not a bad writer either, dude.
No. It's just that's the most hate mail I get, because ever since I got involved with D&D, I've slacked on making fun of movies. And those fans are the ones who say, "I don't play D&D. Why have you betrayed me?"
I can never get that. I just, yeah.
Oh, what? Well, yeah, it's just bizarre, you know. But I mean, I understand. It's betrayal, but oh Lord, yeah, it's just so weird.
Yeah, because I've read some stuff on Head Injury Theater, and you do great movie. They're hysterical. I was just like crying by the end of them. You know, it's like, oh my god. but anyway, yeah. So Tracy, what's been going on with you? You're staying so quiet.
Well, I'm looking up on Earth Arcana. The truth is out there. Aliens abducted your star-packed warlock, which explains the alien probe he wields as a rod. Really?
oh my.
That wasn't me.
You thought that the far...
That was editorial license, apparently.
You thought the far realm was scary before? Here's a version inspired by the X-Files.
That part is true, yes.
Wait. Which episode? Is it the episode about the little Indian guy who crawls up people's butts?
No, not that one.
Because that was a real episode.
No, it's the Android family. That's what it is.
Oh, God, that one. That is probably the creepiest thing I've ever seen on television.
Yeah, when they pull the mom out from underneath the bed.
Oh, man. That was so skeevy. I, like, took a shower after it was over because it was just like, oh, wash it off. Oh, man.
Horrible.
But.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I've known for like 5 or 6 months what the theme for this month was going to be.
Right.
You know, with the moon and the stars.
Mm-hmm.
And because now that I'm in Dragon, they've started giving me kind of advance hints so that I can, like, you know, if you want to integrate what you're going to write, that'd be cool. but moon and the stars, I would not have guessed that meant, you know, space alien lasers and werewolves.
Yep. No lasers in mine.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm out.
You're letting down the team.
I was on board before, but now screw it.
Oh, come on.
I'll get tens of fans, Brian. I'll get tens of fans.
Tens of fans?
Yeah. That's right.
That's what we all dream for.
Yeah. That's right.
Literally a dozen people.
Yeah. I want my first hate mail. I've been doing podcasting for over a year now, and I have a blog, and I don't get hate mail, and I'm like kind of jealous. I downloaded your article and it sucked, man. I just want one of those.
Oh, you want hate mail? I can fix this.
Oh yeah,
Thaddeus generates all the hate mail and it gets sent to him. So, you know, but he hasn't been on for a while. He's busy with other things, so.
So you're the new Thaddeus?
I get. Oh well, let's. I'll just take hate mail.
Let's See, I don't even know what I would rate. I don't have it in me to rate hate mail like that.
Yeah. My heart became cold stone long ago. Things don't bug me so much.
Do you get the, because, you know, you have a very specific style. Do you get the, why does all your stuff look so gross?
Because the human body is disgusting.
It is.
Oh, yeah. It's the Cronenberg thing.
So now we know how Randall feels about your artwork, Jared. How does it make you feel?
I mean, because I love his style. I think it's awesome. But I just, yeah. Because you can see where people would say that, though.
Oh, yeah, no, I find it hilarious when people are like, oh, I want you to paint my girlfriend as a Christmas gift. And I'm like, well, yeah, sure, but I mean, she'll look like she got hit by a car. You know, I'm hesitant unless I'm desperate for money, which I am desperate for money. So if you'd like me to draw your girlfriend getting hit by a car, call now. Oh, God, I was actually looking for hate mail because I save my hate mail. Because I think it's hilarious. You know, I've gotten a few death threats, and I actually got called a commie, a liberal commie pinko, which makes me smile to no end.
Wow, from like the 80s?
No.
Someone drove back to the 80s to give you that?
Yeah, really?
Well,
did Doc Brown send you that freaking, you know, piece of hate mail?
Actually, if you don't mind me telling you the story, that's entirely possible. I wrote a story about, or one of the articles I did was about World War II propaganda, where like Daffy Duck punches out Hitler,
and
that one has generated the most hate mail because I did that over here during the whole height of patriotism in the States. I think that's from 2004, 2005, maybe.
Yeah,
and I got a lot of people defending cartoons where Bugs Bunny uses racial slurs.
Oh, wow.
Because it was like, don't cross the troops. And I was very glad my address was in Germany.
Wow.
Yeah, they're crazy. People are crazy. But I love them, so it's part of their charm.
I thought you had a cold heart.
I'm full of lies.
Brian, you save your hate mail, don't you?
Yeah, I sure do.
And he responds to it. It's awesome.
Oh, man.
It's rare. Something really has to push a button for me to respond. You know,
what's your favorite?
Oh, God, my favorite.
You have so many?
Oh, he gets a lot.
I get a good bit. Yeah, I get a good bit.
Why?
Every couple of months, someone's, yeah.
There's some sacred cows that he touches upon.
Yeah, there are many sacred cows in D&D that, have blatant disregard for, and
the jockstrap.
I got to be a part of that. That was awesome.
Is this a web video that I shouldn't ever watch? What's going on?
No, it's just stuff that's happened in the comic. You know, it's been, you know, I'll make fun of the Forgotten Realms on occasion, or other D&D things that people, well, they just get very passionate about and decide that they don't like me because I'm making fun of it, you know. And it's any number of things. I mean, hate mail's hate mail. You know, people don't like the way I'm treating the characters that are my characters, but you know, they get attached. They get attached and they think they should be done a certain way, so they voice their opinion and other little things like D&D and you know and whatnot. My favorites are the ones that are the most completely irrational. The ones where basically I guess one of my favorites is a lady found my comic one day. This was around last Christmas. Yeah, in the gutter. Where usually it's
truck stop, restroom.
Yeah, pretty much. Giving hand jobs under a bridge.
Wow.
But it's
donate now.
It's
a very serious problem.
Yeah, really, it plagues everyone. But basically, what it was is, you know, she found the comic through a Google search, is what she told me in the email. She was looking for one thing, and she found the comic, I guess, by accident. So she clicks, she clicks the link and goes to it. And the basic gist of it was the comic was shortly after Christmas, and one of the characters was making the point how his mom's church group had learned that he played D&D. And they were having prayer meetings to save his soul because they still believe that Tom Hanks and Mazes and Monsters from the 80s was true. You know, if you play D&D, you worship the devil and you're going to go crazy. And after a paragraph's worth of how she found the comic and what she felt about it, she made a point to tell me that I was going to go to hell.
Nice.
Yeah, she was very serious about it. You know, and I just laughed and laughed. I kept that one. Yeah, it was fun.
Did you experience that?
Going to hell?
Yeah.
No, okay, fine.
Been there, done that, you know.
No, well,
got the t-shirt.
I'm new to D&D, I mean, relatively. I mean, I can't, you know, my outsider cred doesn't really apply anymore because I'm so involved these days. I can't really pretend to be a newbian and not know anything. But I grew up playing Heroes Unlimited, mm-hmm. if you know this game.
Yeah, sure do.
I've played it, but I'm familiar with it.
My mother was very, very religious. She removed every magical section from every role-playing game.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And,
for fear that you're making packs with demons and devils.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. At some point, she went through the magic cards I had.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for demons. This is why I do not play a black deck. In perspective, my mother believed and told me that the devil planted dinosaur bones to trick man into thinking evolution was real.
Holy crap, your mom was my substitute teacher in high school.
Oh, wow. Small.
We had one that did the same thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I can't believe it.
Your mom is pretty much most church ladies here in the South, you know. It's about the same mentality.
Yeah. Well, that's where she is, you know.
Yeah. That's crazy.
But yeah, she was visiting last week, and, you know, since I'm getting Audacity, I'm like, trying to record stuff. I was trying to get her on the record on the matter. And apparently she has a good blank spot for most of that period of my childhood. So I wish I could have gotten her on the spot for that. Because she just doesn't remember any of that. You know?
See, I got lucky because I started playing D&D in 79 and went through that whole... Yeah, like I said, I'm 45. I've been playing since I was 15.
So. I mean it in the best possible way. But,
no, I understand.
My God.
Yeah, old school. But and we went through that whole thing in the 80s with, you know, Rona and all of her stuff and... And the thing,
Rona.
I think that's her name. And Rona, not Rona Barrett. It was Rona, something like that. I can't remember the author who wrote the original Mazes and Monsters. I can't remember.
Okay.
What. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But my mom didn't have a problem with the game because she couldn't really say anything because she was reading all these fantasy novels at the time. I mean, my mom has the largest collection of Andrea Norton novels, like I think on the planet. And so she's read all this science fiction and fantasy, and she's like going, "You're playing a fantasy game? Okay." You know, but they're very religious. I mean, my folks are extremely conservative. Go, you know, Baptists. But because Mom read the fantasy and science fiction books at the time, you know, there wasn't really a whole lot she could say about me playing a game about it. So she let it go. I never saw that. I mean, I sort of had... watched it from a periphery because it was never really that big of a deal. I mean, they did my brother one time got interviewed by the local paper, and I lived in a pretty small town here in the Midwest, and he got interviewed for the local paper one time, and of course they did the traditional set everybody up, light candles, have the DM looking out from behind the DM screen, make it look all, you know, and it looked terrible. I mean, you know, it's from a PR perspective, right? And so, I mean, I wish I could find a copy of that paper and post it again because it was just hysterical. But the press set up the shots to make it look sinister. And it's like, guys, really? It's just a stupid game. Come on. So.
Yeah, in Jacksonville, we had that with the Vampire LARP.
Oh, I bet, yeah.
Because Jacksonville, I don't know why, but the closer you get to Atlanta, the larger the vampire game is.
Mm-hmm.
And the game that really got me into playing something that wasn't Palladium, which I think was a good step, really. was the Vampire LARP in Jacksonville, and it was every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, different games, and the game was 200 people regularly, and the gaming shop bought out the two stores next to it and turned them into basically goth vampire fetish clubs.
Oh, wow.
For role awesome. Players. And unfortunately, this set the standard for me, and every other LARP has disappointed me, and I have figured out why. I have slowly learned that my experience with Vampire LARP may not be your experience with Vampire LARP. Because,
LARPers.
Yeah, it's so weird, though. Because you know they make fun of you. You table jockeys.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Nerds.
Yeah, I can tell you in no uncertain terms how little I care about what they say about me.
Oh, man.
Because I've seen those guys at Gen Con, and I give less than a damn what they think.
I have to admit, I've never been a part of the eyeliner crowd, so, yeah.
Yeah, see, when I was at Gen Con, and people started, insulting LARPers next to me. I felt like it was that moment where you find out your friend's a big racist and you don't know how to articulate it. You know, like, I'm uncomfortable with your irrational hatred.
Yeah.
Because for me... Go on.
Yeah, no, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, no, just for me it was just like, oh man, I hope none of my LARPer friends find out I'm hanging out with D&D guys. You know, and it's got to be like that. I mean...
Well, they're just their dicks on. I guess this would put their dicks on both sides. You know, they're table people over the years. You know, I'm not as old as Randall, but I've played.
Thanks, Brian.
You know, I've played since I was 10. You know, so
right.
I mean, you meet a lot of people over that period of time, and you know, I met people that played just pure tabletop who are just sweetest people you'd ever meet, and I've also met LARPers and vampire players who were just the coolest people on earth. You know, but you have bad examples in both groups, and you get those guys that are almost like gamer racists. You know, they're like, ugh, you roll dice at a table. You know,
one true way to play.
You know, there's only one way to play this game. It's like, man, just play what's fun and shut up.
See, yeah, I used to be really anti-LARP and like, yeah, look at those guys dressing up in armor or whatever. But, you know, as I've gotten older, I've matured a little bit. It's like, you know what? People are into a lot of weird stuff. I'm into some pretty weird stuff. So I think I'll just stop with the commentary and just let people do what they need to do or want to do. So,
yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. Plus, you know, cool people like Jenny Breeden, who does the Devil's Panties, she's a big LARPer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, if cool people like that are LARPing, this may not be so bad, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I try not to take it personally, because New York, I ran a LARP that was about 120 people that the school paid for, because I tricked them into calling it a theater troupe.
Yeah. You're not the first person I've heard say that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
We had fog machines, a costume budget, it was... It was awesome until Hillary Clinton came to visit the school on game night, and she was giving her speech in the theater building, and we play pretty much in the rafters, so her security battalion was very concerned about me showing up with a giant suitcase full of chains and vampire props.
Just another night at the LARP, guys. I don't know what you're worried about.
Oh, man.
So do you like to use props in your game? Because you seem to like props. I'm just saying.
Visual, like with the D&D?
Mm-hmm.
Shamefully, yes. I mean, I talk about the Geek's Dream Girl Ease game that I got to be a guest at. She was like, well, you can't play a character, but you can play this NPC that I built to really fail at screwing over the players. So I want you to come visit so we can kill you horribly. And I was like, okay, cool. So I don't even want to see the character sheet. I just want to role play it, and you know, I'm there to buy their MacGuffins, and you know, they're not going to go for that. But I had a Chipotle, which, you know, they don't have here in Germany. And I set a burrito aside so that I could eat it in character. And nice. It was this role-playing prop that I was like, so they come into the room, and my character, who's like the evil merchant, is just kind of bored, and he's eating his food, saying, yeah, I'm here to offer you something, but, you know, eat, munch, munch, munch. Munch, munch,
awesome.
Munch. And it's like, you're not going to believe me anyway, so I'm not sure how to proceed. Munch, munch, munch. And just through role-playing, I corrupted the party rogue into joining me.
That's
while they went to confirm that I was a total lying asshole. And, yeah, it... I felt really bad. I don't think they're ever going to invite me back, because it didn't go well.
I think it went awesome.
No. It went awesome, but they might be listening. So, you know, that's the party line on the topic. No, it was hilarious. It was just, yeah, it was the power of role playing and the power of a burrito.
Yeah, props their props are awesome. I love to use props. So
Yeah, I know you do, Reynolds. So that's why.
Yes, I do.
I figured we could find some common ground there.
Yeah,
is there a story here?
Vodka potions. Oh yeah, you haven't heard it. I've told it before though, but just to be brief, I actually made my players, who were all adults at the time, drink potions that were concocted out of vodka and food coloring.
Oh, nice.
I put them in little test tubes, and this is during 3.5 rules, so there were like potions for every damn thing. So. Every time they wanted to buff up, it's like, yeah, take a shot, buddy.
So it's like reality.
They would have to drink them. And they'd have to drink the actual potions for it to be effective in the game. So,
oh, wow.
It was awesome.
Nice.
So you invented a D&D drinking game.
Sort of, yeah, exactly. Except the potions wouldn't keep. They would, like, hoard their potions, and then they'd stick them in their dice bags or whatever. And because they didn't seal properly, they would, like, evaporate and stuff, and they'd be left with this, like... stained test tube with nothing in it. It's like, wait a minute.
See, in 4 you just say that they're volatile potions that will go away next time you take an extended rest. So
yeah, that's good.
Bottoms up.
That's right.
I think in 4E you just say, shut up, stop asking questions.
We're trying to play a game here.
Yeah. Just have some dice.
The game is you're going to amuse me by drinking.
This combat, what? Is long enough as it is. Can you just do something?
Man.
Oh, wait. Did I say that out loud? I'm sorry.
Oh, Lord.
What about you, Brian? Do you use props?
Yeah, all the time. I use handouts, and on the odd occasion where I need something kind of special, you know, I've made chalices or... You know, I found costume jewelry, like amulets, you know, and things like that. Anything that's significant to the game, mm-hmm. Yeah, I try to have some kind of a prop for it. It's just one, because it adds another level to the game. I find that it encourages more role playing from people, even the people who don't role play as much. And I don't know, it's just, honestly, they're just kind of fun to make. So it's a nice little craft project to mess with. So
yeah, it is. I made my own coinage, so.
Well, you make your own molds, too, or stuff from mold, too, right? Terrain?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I use a lot of terrain stuff. I mean, and I guess that's kind of a prop, because it's actually on the table, and you know, you're interacting with it. Yeah,
like minis.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, welcome.
But I also make my own coins and stuff, too, so.
But I'm same with you, Randall. I do. If I do anything, I'm more of a map and mini guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I love painting minis. I like making terrain. So,
you okay, Jarrett? Do you need a moment?
Yeah, no. I hate painting minis. No, I pre-painted minis are a blessing to me. It's just I can't fathom. Well, I mean, do you guys play any Warhammer 40K, or did you?
I never got into it.
Oh, man.
That's one of the geek slots that'll probably never be filled. Too much work, too much.
Do you have a void that needs to be filled?
No, not there.
Okay, because I can fill it with gene stealers if need be. Yeah,
I might LARP one day, Jared, but I'm not ever going to play Warhammer.
You should LARP at Gen Con.
Oh, it's okay. Me neither, actually. I got involved, painted my army, and after three rounds, the game was over, and I realized, wow, this is not a game. This is a painting hobby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the work is beautiful and fantastic, but the amount of dough that you have to drop for a couple hours worth of work, it's like nope. And I drop a lot of money on my hobby, but still.
Yeah, it's a very expensive game. Very expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a piece in White Dwarf magazine. Because for stupid monsters, I end up looking in other games just because, you know, one day D&D will stop supplying me with very dumb things. Not soon yet. There was an article that was literally just, hey, this guy wants to play Warhammer, and he's bought a beginning Tyranid army. Look at this giant stack that he's going to go home and paint now and find out if he likes the game. And he's got a stack there that costs about 1,200 euros.
Wow, which is like twice that in dollars. So.
Yeah, Tyranids blow, like budget-wise.
Mm-hmm.
but they're so pretty and horrible. Well, I mean, the thing is, I was playing it like years and years ago. And see, me giving you details doesn't matter because you never played, but there was a brief period of time in the game where you could legally fill a limo, an armored limo, with blood-sucking, brain-eating aliens from hell. And this was Warhammer 40K. This was the same edition where you could have the Harley Davidson dwarves from space.
Oh, I remember those guys. I remember seeing those guys in the game store. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. You know, Stub Knuckles the biker.
See, now I would be the guy that would go in there into a big Warhammer store and like buy and I would need like one mini for a specific thing in D&D. You know, this maybe special creature or something like that, and be like right in front of all of that. Yeah, I'm just going to buy that one.
Nice.
Are you going to paint it? No. And just watch her.
And just watch her heads explode.
Yeah, exactly. What? What?
I'm just going to cut it in half slowly while you watch.
My God, half the store had a stroke.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
I've been hitting the toy store a lot for mini type stuff. Which works better when you're not playing on a mat?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you don't have to worry about the size differences. You can just throw...
Yeah, there's scale issues then, so...
Right. So I like that. That's, I'm really looking forward to that when the D&D Next stuff really comes out.
Yeah, I don't know if... although I did use... I used tubes. Tubes are great.
Oh, okay.
No. Let me clarify.
No, it's fine.
There's a toy line out there called Tubes, and they're basically these plastic tubes that are filled with plastic-type things of different themes, like trees or horses or...
Oh, like a farm set.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's infinitely less perverse.
Yes, exactly. So... I was trying to just blast past it, Jared. So
No. This is my first time. I got to get this out of my system.
Yeah, I get it. It's all right.
Go on.
But anyway, these tubes are great because they have some of them are forest themed. So the tubes are great. And I found some that are horses, and they're perfectly scaled. All right, I'm just gonna let that one roll out.
No, just go with it. It's fine. Yeah. There's no judgment here.
Well, the perfectly next one skilled. I was mounted them to the discs.
God.
Meanwhile, Brian, are you spitting up yet?
I'm just making a list.
Okay, I apparently can't drink for the next 5 minutes.
Nice.
Yeah, wait till he gets to, like, the saddle, the stirrups.
Stirrups, the bridle.
Yeah. But they made great miniatures for the for the characters because they perfectly fit, and it was fantastic. So.
No. I'm a huge fan of using inappropriate minis. I have, I have Baby Jesus from a nativity set that is often used as the thing that must be rescued. Pokemon are also, the thing is, I play a lot of RPGA, so you just kind of bring whatever mini.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why I love bringing the most inappropriate mini I can find. You know, Lego men.
Legos are awesome for minis.
Oh, God. The little plastic. Actually, have you guys played the Lego, the D&D dungeon crawl thing?
A Heroica?
Yeah.
I've got three of them. Yeah, I've got three of the sets. Yeah.
Like three different ones?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll just make sure.
Yeah, there's four different ones all together, and I've got three of the four, so.
Yeah, I haven't seen those here, so I was just I was curious.
Yeah, they look really nice. I haven't actually had a chance to actually sit down and play a game of it.
You're just buying them in bulk?
Well, I haven't bought any of them yet, but I want to play it. You know,
it's not too bad. It's a pretty simple play. I mean, it's really designed for kids, mm-hmm. but it's so useful, and there's so many applications that you could do with it. That's what's cool about it, yeah.
And it's hackable. You can hack the die.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, Tracy's right. You could totally hack it and do anything you want with it. So.
And they tell you to in the instructions. Mm-hmm. Like, make up your own rules.
Yep. And the Lego guys come with little props like gemstones and staves and weapons and all this other cool
and
stuff.
And potion jars.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, and potions.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man.
No vodka included, though.
No. Sadly.
Yeah, there's a... I don't even know. You guys don't have Saturn over there, so I guess the equivalent would be Best Buy or something. They're like the European version of Best Buy, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, at the checkout line, they have all these weird little collectible toys because, it's kind of insane here. Like
Impulse buys.
Well, yeah, but like... Most of the German toys or German chocolate, like the candy you find by like right by the checkout, has toys in them, and it's like Kinder eggs.
Yeah.
Well, sadly, we don't. They're illegal here.
What?
You can't have those. You can't get them in the U.S.
Oh God.
Yeah. They'll actually take them from you when you come through customs.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the warning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because stupid American children choke on them and die, and then their parents sue, and so no one wants to do that.
Man, that sucks.
That's well, I mean, to the U.S., but yeah, that's...
Well, I can't fathom what their rules for the off-brand Turkish Kinder eggs are.
Those are pretty much just considered terrorist weapons at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
Does this egg have a razor blade in it? I don't know.
That's...
Oh man, no! But but they have there's a Lego set. There's a Lego set that with like random boosters of Lego men.
Oh, that would be cool.
And the set is I haven't put much money in it because it's I don't need more minis at the moment. But the set they show the whole set and it's like the shadow, like the face mask and the big brimmed hat and the two guns. And next to a Minotaur?
I've got those guys!
Yeah, like, it's like booster packs with these guys in it.
Oh, huh. Those are, yeah, I've got some of those guys. Yeah, we've got those booster packs. I know what the ones you're talking about are.
Okay, see?
I've got a Cleopatra and a robot and a nurse.
Man.
Yeah.
Want to trade?
Sure!
I got a robot... And a Han Solo.
Oh, I don't have Han Solo.
Oh, man.
What do I have? Yeah, I've got the... I guess that is the Shadow. I just thought he was a gunslinger. But I think you're right with that. I never thought about him being the Shadow, and I think you're right. But the Minotaur, Cleopatra, I have, like, a geisha girl.
Yeah. It's because that Lego needs more of those.
Yeah, that's exactly. What I was thinking.
I'm being good.
Oh, like this, like since when, Tracy?
Yeah.
Come on, Tracy.
What? I I have
entertain us.
That's nice. Yeah, that's what I'm here for. Entertain the men when they're bored.
I'm not bored. It's just, you know, it's your turn.
It's my turn.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been doing art lately, but you guys know a lot more about art than I do.
I don't know anything about art.
Yeah.
My advice, because I mean, okay, Brian, do you get emails from people who are like, I want to make them a webcomic. Can you link to me? Maybe give me advice?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I get those periodically.
Yeah, what's your response to that? Because when I get stuff like that, it's usually kind of a forget about your web traffic, don't look at that, and if you can't do something artistically, don't do it with style. Which is my sad gimmick. So it's like, okay, I can't really draw this, so you know what? I'm going to just cover it with ink and make it freaking cubist. And yeah, sure.
My advice typically to people that want to do that sort of thing is it's similar. You know, it's draw what you want, tell the stories you want, and just put your head down and work at least for the first year to 2 years, and don't worry about your traffic. You know,
yeah.
If you spend most of your time trying to create for a specific audience, you'll drive yourself crazy. Just do, you know, tell the stories and do what you want to do, and your audience will find you.
Oh yeah, you know? No, totally.
That's pretty close to the blogger stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean it's all hand in hand. It really is. So, yeah.
What's the average lifespan of a blog?
I don't know.
Well, no. The reason I ask is because when I was in a webcomic collective that will remain nameless for the time being, it was just one of those observations we made. The average lifespan is 3 to 4 years. At that point, they go on hiatus, right. Come back for a moment, and then are gone.
Well, I mean, a lot of blogs...
And if you survive that, you're great.
A lot of blogs don't even get... past a few months, because it's so hard. It's hard to write and not hear anybody talk back to you. Like blogs are more of a conversation sort of thing. So you're kind of writing out to this void, and you're hoping to have a conversation back with somebody because that feeds your ideas and everything else. But if nobody ever writes back, it gets kind of soul crushing.
I don't know. I think there's an element of ego there because I was blogging in 2005,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't a D&D blog then. It was just a personal blog.
Right.
And I would just write about these stupid things that would come to mind, you know, like the fact that you can carry 4 ounces of lube on an aircraft, but that's all. You can't carry any more than 4 ounces of personal lubricant on an aircraft carrier. So
you
didn't
even need to say anything on that.
Exactly. So there you go, right?
Low-hanging fruit.
You know, and those kind of weird things. And, And I never got really a lot of comments, some every now and then, but usually it was like people, close friends or like family that was reading the blog, it would make a comment or whatever. But it was just like I wanted to write these things down and put them out there somewhere.
Yeah, and I think, well, for one, you were writing for yourself anyway, so that helps a lot.
Right.
And sometimes with D&D and the types of, other, like the blogging you do, a lot of the blogging you do now... A lot of people are looking for the audience, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I kind of differentiate them in my head. It may not be fair to, but I mean, when I first started my blog, it was just me talking about what I was doing, trying out this new thing that I've always been around but never tried called D&D, and it can get kind of rough sometimes not hearing from anybody. I think it took over a month before I got my first comment on the blog and stuff. But I hear from a lot of people who are just... they concentrate so much on those numbers. And it's hard because the people who tend to make it are the ones who are just doing it because they love to do it and they would never... Even if nobody ever commented, they'd still be doing it because that's what they like doing. Like, for me, exactly. It's how I work out mm-hmm. things. Like, I write it out because that's how I work through everything. And it's awesome that people like that, but I have sometimes no idea why they like it because to me it's just, like, it's way I scratched out to try to figure something out, sort of thing.
Right.
Well, it's a I mean,
oh, go ahead.
No. After you, my friend.
Well, no. You're our guests, so please.
No. Well, no, it's fine. I've forgotten now.
No, on. I was basically going to reiterate what Tracy said. It was now it's the fact that you know, at this point, my writing's, it's changed from just writing needless stuff to, you know, trying to find things that people will be interested in reading. And, you know, of course, the big topic now is stuff for D&D Next. And so a lot of my articles, even though I'm not in the playtest or anything, are looking at, well, what if we did this kind of a thing with it? Just kind of, you know, throwing out some hyperbole and saying, well, we could go back to doing it this way, or this is what I used to like, and things like that. So, and people seem to be interested, but it's a lot of stuff that I would like talk about on Twitter, but there's not enough room on Twitter to talk about it. So let's make a blog post out of it instead, that kind of thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, I think it just gets back to you have to do what you enjoy. And if you enjoy it and you're passionate about it and you put the work behind it, you know, like-minded people are going to find you at some point, you know. And
for better or for worse.
Yeah, for better or for worse, that's for sure. You know, I mean, that's the thing is, you could have, you know, one of the biggest audiences out there, and maybe your audience just happens to not be very vocal. You know, maybe they're not the commenting type.
Oh, yeah.
So tons of people are reading what you're doing, but, you know, they just enjoy it quietly. They mind their business, and they don't feel the need to tell you one thing or another. So, but, yeah, there are a lot of people who just focus so hard. Why didn't somebody comment on this?
And it's like, folks.
Yeah. It's like you can't worry. You can't
You're
worry.
You're not supposed about to set them up on purpose, Brian. It doesn't work that way.
And then you could be like Brian, and you write some really controversial comics, and then you get lots of comments. Or the T-shirts. I like the T-shirts. I have my Monty T-shirt.
No, thanks.
Yeah. I have three of them, I think. I've got the Monty, I've got the special edition Mordenkainen, and then I've got the, which...
Doesn't exist. That's
practically a bootleg. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bootleg.
Nice.
And I paid with it with my flesh, so...
You did?
I did.
Not asking.
At Gen Con?
Were tubes involved?
But you kind of want to ask, though. You know you do.
Oh, no. We're still recording.
Yeah. and then the I think I have the flaming I think I have one of the flaming dice T-shirts.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And but the thing is, I mean, and I don't do this very often, but it's even on a serious side of that is doing comics that are, you know, that will push a button with certain people or a certain percentage of or a certain group of gamers. Mm-hmm. It's not always done just with that intention. You know, and I'm not going to lie, there have been a couple comics, yeah, I've done it just to stir shit, you know, just to get people talking, if nothing else. And
get some of the ladies mad at you?
Get some of the ladies mad at me?
I'm teasing.
I was like, come on. I have, if ladies are mad at me for the comic, it's news to me. Yeah.
No, no. Dallas is awesome.
I'll be Dallas, but yeah, no, it's more neckbeards that are pissed at me. So
sack beards, as I call them.
Yeah, the sack beards, neck beard, sack beard.
I don't want to think about that.
There are many classifications of beard. And yeah,
the family tree is long and diverse.
Mm-hmm, with no branches.
Man.
It's just one of those things where, you know, sometimes, yeah, you push somebody's button, you know, haha, yeah, I pushed a button, whatever, but I'm kind of the mindset now that if that happens, great. At least you're still talking about gaming. You know, even if it's like, oh my God, I can't believe you think that rule's great, or I can't believe you think this game is cool, or whatever.
Or Goodman awesome.
Yeah. I cannot believe this is just Pepsi terrific. You know. I'm going to get on my iPad.
Need more sponsors.
And talk about it. You know.
Well, I've always thought that, if your art is getting any kind of response at all, it's succeeded.
How did I miss more pixelated junk?
Wait, what?
Tracy's having a hallucination, apparently.
No, I'm at private stock on the d20monkey.com website. I missed private stock, Brian. You didn't tell me. You should have... You should add it, me. More pixelated junk.
There's been a lot of pixelated junk. There's been a lot of pixelated stuff. A lot of pixelated junk in this comic. You know?
Please, no Vampire Jesus pixelated junk.
No.
No. Please, no. We don't need that.
So. Oh, no.
Now no I found it.
The junk or?
No, the Barbie skewed. That was the one I was referencing when I was talking about the ladies being upset. But
oh, yeah, with the ladies? Yeah. Which, like I said, that would be news to me, because most of the ladies...
Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, the feminist-y, you know, kind of ladies were like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, well, cool, you know. Because, I'm sorry, lady gamers are awesome. And I don't say that to kiss ass. That's just the truth. You know, if I could run a table of, you know, if my D&D group was more ladies than guys, I'd be happy. And I've had that at different periods of time gaming. Because, just in my mind, ladies... I like a mixed group, but ladies bring a whole different mindset sometimes to encounters in some of the best ways. And just meeting those sack beards who just, oh, girls don't game. You know, it's like,
oh, God.
It's so
idiot.
Weird.
It's like, you idiot.
This is something I found out when I really was getting into D&D, because, I mean, all my Shadowrun and World of Darkness experience, the ratio was really, like, 50-50. And, in fact, I've been to games where, like, LARPs and stuff, where there literally are, like, you know, more women than men. Mm-hmm. And
I find that interesting, too, because I've seen over the years, it seems like it depends on... A lot of time it depends on the game in question. Because I completely agree with you. I've seen more ladies who LARP with, like, vampire and other things like that than guys. And I don't know if there's any specific reason for it or if it's just...
Oh, no. No, there's logic against it. Because, I mean, we hear... There's these women... I can't think of one off the top of my head that's unhappy with... Bikini male and tit plate, mm-hmm. But
can't think of anyone.
Yeah, me neither. The vampire games and the World of Darkness stuff mm-hmm. are so much more depraved.
Yeah,
that like the standards that we look for, like building a better D&D that's welcoming to all. Is actually, you know, and make it more inviting to girl gamers. The games that don't have this problem have ramped up the stuff that's called offensive in D&D.
Well,
like it's all sex and corsets. I mean,
but there's not. Oh, see, this is the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not all sex and corsets are the same?
Yeah, I would argue. The reason that you have this is because look at any theater group, and you're going to have more women than men in the theater group. And I would say that LARPs are more likely to have a dynamic similar to a theater group than a bunch of guys sitting around the table who are used to playing Risk.
Well,
you know, totally, that's
totally.
And so I think that's where you get the difference in the gender differences. I mean, as far as the ratio.
Yeah, oh, totally. Right. It's just one of those weird things, because, I mean, I'm not even just talking about LARP, because, you know, even my tabletoping experience, which sounds wrong now in this context. God, stop recording. It's not like I'm thinking that that's actually, like, you know, that's the reason and that's always it, but it's just a weird thing that I can't quite figure out, because... If we put World of Darkness to the standards that like we're working towards with D&D, it would implode. Because I mean the last Gen Con. Do you guys remember the New Orleans by Night White Wolf booth at Gen Con? A couple?
Sure did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the one where it was just girls in corsets.
Yep.
Serving absinthe, and. Everyone was joking about it, because it's like, aha, I remember when White Wolf sold games, and, you know, but everyone was talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And
see, I didn't like that booth.
Yeah, no, I know, but there were girl and guy gamers all over it.
Well, yeah,
The guys are wearing corsets too, so.
Yeah.
Well, no, but
it's a rite of passage.
I think one of the, I mean.
I am a LARPer, you know.
I've worn a corset.
I'm one of you. I say that I have not done that. I will not say what I have done.
Honestly, but I think what it does come down to, and I was trying to say Randall there, I think what it comes down to.
Nice. Thanks, Brian.
Nice. We'll get back to you.
We'll get back to that. I think what it, in some cases, what it comes down to is, at least with like World of Darkness, and I'm going to say it this way, and it may sound wrong, offensive, sexist. I don't know how it's going to come across, but World of Darkness LARPs and things like that, and even some really good, from what I've seen, you know, medieval D&D style LARPs, it's prettier LARPing, meaning it's not someone standing there in a chainmail bikini or, you know, bikini plate. It's a lady wearing a really she's wearing a corset, but she's got a really nice dress. She's playing a character. There's substance to the costume, if that makes sense. And I think that's why it goes over more. Mm. You know, that's why it's not so scrutinized, maybe. Mm. You know, like D&D is. Because, I mean, we've all seen the fantasy art for years. You look at any Julie Bell or Boris Vallejo, you know, piece, and it's, you know, a chick wearing, you know, a metal bikini with a broadsword, you know,
or just another dude.
Or just another dude. Yeah. Well, you know. And I don't know. I think if nothing else, maybe that might be just one of the small reasons why it's not quite so scrutinized.
I don't think it's that, maybe. My understanding is that World of Darkness and White Wolf hired a lot of women to work on the products compared to D&D. And the game itself has a lot more available that recognizes traditional feminine sources of power in a way that D&D just does not. And D&D tends to be more of a male power fantasy game. And, like, you're gonna feel that sitting down and trying to play it unless you bring back comeliness.
Man. God damn it, Tracy.
See, I don't think you need comeliness. I think you just need the group.
Well,
honestly, I think a game of D&D could be just as empowering for men or women, depending on the group and the DM.
No, D&D doesn't have the women's side to it. It just doesn't.
I mean, Vampire, that whole thing came out of Anne Rice. I mean, there's one of your big influences right there. So I think that there's a definite evolution there that follows. One follows the other. But you're right, Tracy. I think that, and you don't necessarily have that with, you don't have that same kind of influence with D&D. Not that direct influence.
And
I think it needs to be infused in there, but.
And you can totally have, like, I'm not saying that it's abhorrent to women or anything like that, but it's just not subtly there the way that I've seen it in other games. And one of the biggest things I've had, like, I mean, you guys know that I am not afraid of having sex in my games, but I'm afraid of having sex in my games with with the characters.
Okay, just clarify. Yeah,
we've rolled on the orgy chart.
Clarify that,
anyways.
For the whole audience.
No, I'm sorry. I have the Book of Erotic Fantasy on my shelf right now, and
this is not
LARPing.
We're talking about D&D, not LARPing. But so there's no real sex.
Okay.
But usually it's the guys that are telling me they have a hard time. They don't want to have it in their games, or they're afraid of it, and then when it is in there, they often just act very strangely. And it's because a lot of times when I'm talking about it, they're picturing their typical group, which is mostly, if not completely, men, and they're just like, it's so off-putting to have to flirt with my male DM.
Oh. Sorry, go on.
No, that's it. That's my rant.
No. I totally agree with you. I mean, most of my gaming is with the RPGA and Living Forgotten Realms, because it's really big here.
Right.
And when people make, when a guy makes the sexy elf princess character, I understand that in, say, World of Warcraft, because you're going to be looking at the character falling down, jumping, running away. you know, for the entire playtime. So I can get that. What gets creepy is when that player starts flirting with your character.
Right.
Yeah, it's...
Well, like, yeah, for me, I can tell you, in a game that I am in, the male characters have plenty of chances to flirt and interact with female NPCs in the world, but I'm hardly ever given a chance to do that, and when I do, it's often hurried off, or, like, it feels the DC is much higher to get anything done.
I feel that way sometimes, too.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry.
Enough. No. There's a disconnect there.
I ruined conversation.
No. I'm taking the blame for this. I will fall on the sword.
How? Wait.
Figuratively speaking.
Giggity.
No. Oh man. Giggity.
Strapped on sword.
Oh man. So Brian, do you have anything fourth core coming up?
At the moment,
that you can
no.
discuss.
Nothing I can discuss, but okay. You know, not really. No, not much fourth core stuff at the moment. I'm playing more fourth core actually here lately than I have been ever before. We did the charity event last month, and
yeah, that was awesome.
We're looking to set another one up for May, so. We're going to take another pass at trying to get through that thing because it kicked our ass.
Talk your mouth off more.
Say what?
You should talk your mouth off one more. That was awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Man, I have no pride when it comes to.
I have no shame.
I don't care. I will gladly run my mouth like that, and then get the shit kicked out of me for charity. I'll do it every day. I don't care. You know?
Well, no, and that's also fun.
Yeah, it's just fun.
Because it's like, I'm going to die, but how?
Well, the stuff was a lot of fun. I mean, it's... Crucible was a fun module. We had a good group. The DM was, you know... He knew what he was... Yeah, he really knew what he was doing. Wesley's a good DM. And, you know, it's for a good cause, and it's... I mean, anytime you can play D&D or any game and raise some money for kids, it's always a good thing. So, I just enjoyed it. But beyond that, no, I'm just...
Yeah, just curious.
Playing things that are NDA'd. That's pretty much all I'm doing lately. So.
Yeah, I'm going to just call it my friend's game, and then I could just talk about it. You know? Just not specifically. Oh, madness.
I'm hoping in April that goes away. By the end of the month, that goes away. So,
yeah, me too. I mean, because that's the big thing for me is I would never really, you know, break NDAs or anything like that. But it's more just general impression stuff. You know, mm-hmm. you kind of just want to be able to go, hey guys, guess what? You know, and that's
it. Oh man, but yeah,
you can't.
No.
You know, but you can't.
Yeah. Do you think this was actually a coup on the marketing department? Because that was one of the things I've noticed, is that everyone was talking about D&D Next, and then suddenly everyone got this email that made them very happy, but they couldn't talk about, and then everybody stopped talking about D&D Next.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like all the prominent bloggers and stuff are like, oh, no, not chiming in on the matter. Nope. No opinion.
Yeah.
It was made very clear to all of us who are doing that sort of thing that, you know, even if our intentions are good and even if we understand that, you know, we would never in a million years release specifics by any means.
Mm-hmm.
We can't even really say how much we like or dislike something.
Oh, yeah, totally.
No. And I think that's where some of the bloggers are getting not really frustrated, but just kind of like, damn, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, you found this really cool thing and you want to tell everybody about it, but you can't. And
yeah,
you know, that's basically how it breaks. Now, granted, in the course of what I've just said, maybe I've broke that NDA and I really don't care.
Well, Well, you're talking about my Burning Tides game, right?
I'm actually talking about the new Fighting Sons that's coming out.
Oh, very close. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, actually, though, it's actually given bloggers like me who do not have access to the D&D Next some actual freedom to be able to talk about it and not worry about. In fact, I'm kind of interested in seeing what's going to when it becomes open, because I want to see what I got right. Mm-hmm. I'm really interested to see as to how close I got into some of my. I don't try to rewrite them as just predictions. Because that's not what I'm trying to do. They're more or less like, well, these are things I'd like to see, and
more like prophecies.
Kind of a little bit. I mean, you know, I've been playing for a long time, and knowing that they are trying, and you know, reading the polls and things like that, and knowing the kind of feel that they're going for, you can sort of predict how maybe some of this is going to look like, and so you know, that's what I'm eager for. I want to see how close I got. You know.
Well, yes, I think a lot of people do.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to opening up because, like I said earlier, writing is how I work through it. So it's been kind of really frustrating for me. And then people can stop saying that I'm either turning my back on 4E or I'm proof positive why they shouldn't be part of D&D Next. I don't know. Lots of weird stuff.
Wait, what?
Oh.
What are you evidence of?
Oh, so when I wrote my blog post when D&D Next got announced that said basically I had gone to Seattle in December to play it, somebody referenced that the fact that I didn't say that I hated it and said that was proof positive, since I liked it, that was proof positive that D&D Next was not for them, and then went on later to say that they would rather poke their eyes out with a fork than play at a table with me.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
You get great hate mail.
I'm envious. Jeez.
Oh, and it's great. And it's not even hate mail. It's public. Like, he publicly writes it. It's whatever. Which, of course, I say, well, you know, when he does finally sit at the table with me, I'll just hand him a fork and say, you know what to do. But...
Oh, please do that.
I would never act. Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
That's been one of the more frustrating parts as someone who is supposedly a quote-unquote prominent 4E blogger. Like, just the attacks that people have because I totally understand why they're so afraid of 4E stuff. I mean, 4E is my first game. Like, I love it. But some of the stuff that just gets said just starts wearing away at my soul.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I mean, this is my first edition change for D&D, you know, and it's interesting because I've been trying to play the older editions and take a look at that, because the problem is that in the interviews and they say it's like, oh, what if I like 4E? It's like, well, you can use this combat, intensive, detailed combat tactical module.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize that was the defining characteristic of my edition.
I had a problem with that for a while, too.
Yeah. So, but it's weird, though, because, I mean, it's just weird looking back at the older editions and trying to figure out what is the iconic D&D experience that I'm missing, you know?
The iconic D&D experience is whatever you enjoy. It's whatever you've played and enjoyed, you know. I mean, to me, it doesn't seem like it matters if you played from first edition to fourth or into fifth, you know. I mean, I know plenty of people who started with fourth, and that's always going to be their iconic D&D. Doesn't
like
matter
your
what
first doctor.
Yeah,
your first doctor.
Doctor Who.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what comes before or after.
For a minute.
Yeah.
It's funny, guys, because this will be my fourth one, my fourth edition change, and with each edition, I've just played the new one because, you know, they make changes to the game that I like, and they've improved some things, and yes, I am nostalgic for a lot of things, but I really want to see them in actual play because there are some things that, you know, we don't really need to go back to.
Wait, you don't want your character eaten by gnolls again? I don't know, ghouls?
Ghouls, yeah, I'd rather not have that happen again.
Out of a rowboat? Like a little aquatic buffet?
I was alone.
Well, the rest of them had gotten paralyzed, and I was on a lone dwarf warrior on a rock, fending off all these ghouls.
And then you got paralyzed.
To see, and then I got paralyzed, and then there's a random roll as to which one of them they're going to drag off and eat, and I'm the one that got eaten.
Oh, so you won.
Well, yes, because that paved the way for Chaz Standish, Fighting Man, to come back, so you know.
Oh, man, I would love to see that.
But
my class is Magic User. Or Dwarf. Because wasn't that the edition where, like, Dwarf was a class?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's awesome.
Dwarf and Elf.
Yeah.
And, like, I like some of that stuff where the magic spells can be really useful, but sometimes it was kind of boring of, well, let me use the sleep spell first, and then sleep works against everything, and then you're just like, oh, I guess that encounter's over. Okay.
Oh, I was successful. Where? No. No, I totally know what you mean, though. I don't have a lot of play experience with the older editions, you know. The first game that I played, though, was I played in one 3.5 game.
I'm sorry. No.
Hey, you play Pathfinder, you know.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yes.
You know, they're unrelated games completely, of course, but
yeah.
Yeah, of course, but that was the weird thing, was that in 3.5, they made me the half-orc fighter, because it was simple, and, you know...
Smash!
Yeah, exactly, and they could just point me towards the rules, and, you know, it was really simple for a completely new player who'd never played D&D. But the allure with 4th edition, for me, was that, like, in the 3.5 game, I kind of was generic at level one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I had my story and everything, but it was all kind of played the same, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the thing that I'm seeing is that in 4th edition, you kind of start out as a custom hero.
Mm-hmm.
How, you know, with an identity and a play style and all this stuff. And in 3.5 and a bit more and less in older editions, you earn your identity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I see the benefit of both. You know, I see why people have to plot their character design or their character build, you know, from level one, because if you need to have enough skills to qualify for X,
mm-hmm.
and you only have that if you have a high enough intelligence to do this, and, you know, like, you have to know what your prestige path is going to be.
Yep.
Right.
And, yeah. You know, that was one of the big allures to me as someone new to D&D, was that 4th edition just kind of let you play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, so, I don't know.
Well, I mean, 4th edition was, overall, was supposed to help get more people into the game. Like, or at least speak to a newer generation of gamers.
WoW players. Sorry.
Not necessarily just WoW players, though.
Yeah, it's a little like the chicken and the egg, though. You know? Well,
right.
I don't know. I see definite parallels in the marketing to try to get people who were into those games to play the game.
Wow, a video game based off of D&D then used to try to get people to play D&D? Never would have thought that one coming.
It's kind of recursive, but yeah.
I mean, yeah, because a lot of WoW is actually based on D&D stuff.
Oh, totally. I mean, the whole, like, moral relativism thing that is kind of new with 4th edition,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, there's a friendly orc kingdom over here, and, you know, have a minotaur, why not? And like, gnolls. Gnolls were the second player race to come out after the original PHB. So, you know, it's just one of those weird, like, okay, you can play whatever.
Right.
You know, I see that as a WoW influence.
I really like that.
Well, I do too, but you know, that's kind of the thing, is that it's like,
with WoW, it's like, okay, it's not quite so black and white with the morality and the genocide and the racism and stuff. You know, it's like, oh, you have a language. Thus, I can talk to you, and technically, I shouldn't kill you on sight.
Right.
But right. I can also see how that might not be the iconic D&D experience.
Right, and well, that's my problem going forward, is that the black and white stuff really bugs me. Because oftentimes the way it's aligned in the U.S. and other places isn't always helpful to me. So,
I dare you to be more careful.
Yeah, I know. I already had my rant.
Oh, there's See, a for me, okay. The thing well, about fourth edition.
No, I can. I mean, I can keep ranting about it, but so many people have told me that they're tired of me ranting about
no,
it.
No. The adults are talking now.
Okay.
Oh my god! No, don't just say okay.
Yes, sir.
Oh man, I'm in trouble later.
She can say that again. That's all right.
Oh man, horror. You were saying?
Yeah. Well, see, fourth edition for me, the big boost for that for me was on the DM side. That was the first version that I sat down and said, wow, all of a sudden it's quite easy for me to DM. I can focus on story and these other things, and the rest just falls into pieces, and all the monsters look great, and their powers are specified, and it's pretty straightforward. Whereas previous editions, it was like some kind of arcane math.
Homework.
Yeah, really. I mean, you had to really... And kind of a guessing game. And it was a hit and miss. You never knew for sure if you were building an encounter that was going to be balanced or not. And if the players survived, well, I guess it worked.
Yeah.
Snap walks up 2 pages long.
Right, exactly.
Oh, God,
Particularly the third edition, that was terrible. But even in the older editions, and, you know, trying to figure out, you know, hit dice and, you know, this number of hit dice is equal to this, you know, this kind of thing. And it was just this bizarre math, but the fourth edition really did that well. You know, on the player's side, I'm not as impressed because the characters often seem, in order to differentiate your character in style from anyone else, it's all story based. There's no mechanics that help back that up because all of the players have powers. They can all do X amount of things per round or per encounter. And
expand on that, because I don't understand that as a criticism, because I don't see the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm more of a player than a DM.
And this probably comes from my historical, you know, for what I've done and what I've played in the previous versions. I like the idea that a fighter is simple to play. I like the idea that a fighter, in his iconic way, his job is to just go beat crap with a sword. That's all he needs to do. He doesn't need to do anything fancy. He beats stuff with a sword. The thief sneaks around and stabs stuff and fixes the locks.
Well, see,
the magic user blasts things with magic on occasion. And he doesn't get to do it all the time because it's hard. And the cleric turns undead and heals people. You know,
man.
I mean, now these are iconic things, and I'm exaggerating because, yes, you can do
with
those
things. It is iconic.
They are iconic.
At the core.
Iconic boring.
I'm
kidding.
Wow.
No, I know you're kidding. But I just, those are things that sort of went away. And so, I mean, sure, my character's a fighter, but if I've got something that's similar, you know, like an Avenger, you know, fine, he gets to roll another d20 on this attack. So what? You know, there's nothing that leaps out to me as, like, this is an important differentiation. Why?
Well,
you know.
So you're a fan of, though, the 3.5 built essential stuff, right? I mean, I'm assuming.
You mean the...
Well, yeah, I mean, because the...
the essentials
thought,
bill. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Because you said 3.5, so that's why I was...
Well, the thing is that from what I'm looking at, it looks like the essentials are basically the 3.5 classes, more or less, with kind of the class bonuses and features kind of all over the place. And but they're just structured differently. There's not that graph.
Right.
you know, and so does that work more? Did that work more for you? Because
I do actually like the way the Essentials classes are structured better than the original 4th edition classes.
Okay, totally. Was just curious.
Oddly enough, the Assassin is my exception, because I actually like the Shrouds.
Oh, the Shrouds are great.
I love the Shrouds mechanic, and that was dropped from the Essentials Assassin, so...
Yeah.
I mean, they got a great poison mechanic, which I think is kind of cool, but I really liked the Shrouds, so...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's like one exception, but yeah.
I think one of the hard things with a lot of the 4th edition classes was just they didn't keep the design space narrowly defined for the different classes, and that's why a lot of them seemed like they were kind of on top of each other, and you couldn't really differentiate them between them.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's a big part of it.
And then you could have things like the essential, like you could have essentials types builds, and then you could have fighters that have powers if you wanted to, as long as the math worked out.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, I like melee characters, and I want my melee characters to be awesome, like 4E melee characters, not like those earlier edition characters. But other people like other things, I understand.
Well, no, you just have to have that crappy melee character survive a few levels.
Usually it worked the other way. The melee character survived to keep the wizard alive, and then the wizard got really badass, and the melee character just kind of became Shadow. Unless you learned feats, and then feats had all the powers in 3.5. That's how you added powers to your fighter in 3.5, was through feats. Or any other class, really. Cleave.
Oh, man. I have trouble imagining the game without feats.
Really?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was doing research on the D&D cartoon, as mm-hmm. I was doing a piece on that. Not for WotC, because there are issues there. But I have spoken to their legal department on the topic. That was interesting. One of the things... Oh, my God, my brain just... Yep, I've had a seizure, and I've had a complete seizure about... Because I was thinking about getting yelled at by my editor to never speak of this again.
So, Brian, take it away.
Yeah, please, save me.
There's really nothing for me to take away there. I mean, to me, that's the big thing is, like Tracy said, people are going to play what they play. You know, they're going to like what they like. And, you know, if 4th edition was your first D&D, then it's going to be the best D&D for you, most likely. You're always going to look back at it fondly and say, oh, okay, well, it never really was like this. You know, it doesn't matter what they did in earlier editions or the new stuff that's coming out. I think there's a middle ground, for sure. I think that you could get the power mechanic and some of the, you know, kind of over-the-top powers that you get from 4th edition and tie it in with more of the iconic traditional D&D that some people know and love. You know, that's always been my opinion has always been just make the best basic game you can make. And even if the player's handbook they hand you is nothing but the iconics and iconic boring whatever, you know, you can just give me what's the common denominator for this class for all the additions of the game thus far. You know, if a cleric is a chainmail wearing, mace swinging, undead turning heal machine, then okay, give me that in the book, but also go, hey, you know, you could make it this and this if you really wanted to, you know. But I think that's where it really breaks down is just make the best basic game you can. Yeah. And then let groups and DMs tinker.
I think that only works if you're not interested in getting newer players, but that's just me.
You're what?
I don't think that works. If you're not interested in getting newer players, that probably works. I fear that the iconic stuff just speaks to a different time than today.
Well, how often do you get new gamers in your groups?
I don't know, Jared. You and I are both pretty new.
Well, okay, but once every few years is probably not a good...
Well, no, I mean, there's lots of new players.
Oh, no, totally. I mean, I was just kind of asking with the people here, because, I mean, we, with our RPGA group, we usually get one or two... Actually, no, since Encounters started in Lair, There's about 4 or 5 new people joining the scene every month. Mm-hmm. And that's just with the local shop. But I don't know if everyone in their games are going online and putting up Craigslist ads for Goblin Slayers.
Well, I do know that. I mean, my wife is a pretty new player. She's only been playing since 2008, so, and she started with 4th edition. And it wasn't until she got a look at the Warlock that she found a class that she actually wanted to play. And so I can see the point. You know, and like I said, there's a lot of things that I'm nostalgic for mm-hmm. that I know may not work out in what's would be considered regular play. I actually think one of the things holding back the classes the way they are is the encounter unit mm-hmm. that's in 4th edition, which I've actually come to kind of loathe. And so, because it drives too much mechanics, and I think that needs to be separated. The whole idea of encounter powers and short rests and things that are only based on the fact that we have this unit called an encounter, I think it's contrived. I think that it doesn't... It defeats an easy-flowing game and keeps people from being able to have a smoother running game. So, right.
Transitioning, I mean, I know you don't want to call them encounters, but the essential idea of transitioning from one encounter to the next, instead of it being right. such a rigid, this is an encounter.
Or from a searching, or from a search mode to a combat mode to right. a socialization mode or whatever mm-hmm. they want to, interaction mode, whatever
oh,
they
want.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, but a lot of that transition stuff that you're talking about between, like, search and combat and stuff could be kind of solved by just not having as many parts of your character tied to a map. Because that's one of the big things with 4th edition was that a lot of the powers, particularly in PHE1, I think, were tied to map squares.
Yeah. No, I agree.
So even, like, your basic at-wills or your encounter powers would be slide a creature X squares plus your charisma bonus or something like that for the rogue.
Oh, man. We had to, when 4th edition started, we had to house rule that whatever power you had, mm-hmm. you could choose to have it deal no damage outside of combat if you could make it make sense.
Right.
And because really it was just like, okay, I have this magical power to move everyone, but I don't really want to kill the guards.
Right. Well, and then every time you do have an encounter, people want to be able to use their power to the fullest, so you have to draw out the map. Even if it's a couple of guards that you're trying to take care of, people still want to roll their d20 and they still want to do damage to those guards. But now you need a map because on top of it, you have to say, they have to be able to slide them or figure out if they're actually in flanking. And right. too many people aren't willing to let the GM just DM just handle that.
Well, okay, but here's a question. Because, okay. I mean, this is why when we went into the 4th edition, the thing that I enjoyed the most, because I did not get the whole, okay, we need to make an extended rest now. Because, okay, the princess has been kidnapped by orcs. We don't know what they're doing. Maybe they're making half-orcs. I don't know. And, you know, we're running to be totally, you know, heroic, and we have a really bad fight. We know the hostage is in the other room, mm-hmm. but we're all really, really damaged.
Right.
So we know that we should just camp out outside of his door.
Well, but you would have that in previous editions, too, because you would run out of spells.
We did.
Oh, no.
I'm a supply closet or a supply room somewhere and say, yeah, you're safe, right?
Totally, but that's what I liked about the encounter system with the recharging things and getting hit points back and stuff like that. Because role-playing-wise, I could justify taking, like, a five-minute break.
Right.
You know, it's like, okay, well, you know, if she's not dead already, you know, we can wait 5 minutes. But it was just one of those, like, well, no, she can have another night of living torture.
Well, and they could have just put in, like, the DMG or had notes about this that the DM can just hand wave that. Like, there could be some sort of special, like, creature that comes and gives you back all of your dailies because you're
like a leprechaun, the cereal.
Or the Lady of the Woods gives you a blessing and blah, you have all your dailies back. If it fit the story, like, that wasn't as big of a... And it all depends on how important time is to you and your game at that point.
Don't DMs do that, though?
I know a lot of DMs who wouldn't necessarily. Like, they should, but they don't know.
Yeah, because I mean, like... if basically in our game, if you can make it sound good, you can totally cheat.
Right.
Our game has actually now reached level 28. Mm-hmm. And we started when 4th edition, like, started. And, you know, our characters have changed. Some of the players have changed over the course of it. But it's still the same story. And I play a Hexblade of Lady of the White Well. Which, if you're familiar with it, it's basically you make a pact to get laid and married to an archfey. Like, that's your epic destiny. I mean, Robert Schwab is awesome. I mean, the prize at the end is you get married. And you get married to a bisexual archfey because she lets there be, you know, female hexblades that serve her. And she has multiple people trying to woo her at the same time. It's actually it's a little freaky, but the point is that, like, in our game, our paladin, who's the plot character, he's the MacGuffin fighter, the chosen one, is dying horribly, and you get a daily where you can summon somebody to protect him, and in the game he's only supposed to protect me. But I role played asking him to be the best man at my epic wedding. and it had never come up. And, you know, like the DM just rolled with it. So my bodyguard popped out and saved my best man. And, he still owes me a bachelor party. But, basically, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I would assume that most DMs cheat. But apparently I'm wrong.
Well, I think the difficulty is that... I mean, because you play in the RPGA a lot, right? So there's been a lot of table hopping probably within that group. People playing, seeing how other people run games.
Don't you judge us.
Your poly table. Where, like, lots of people don't play with anybody else, so the only thing they have are the books and maybe blogs and stuff. And then there are some people who are very, I mean, I know there's a contingent who are very, rules as written, who might not like it as much. Although, I think the newer classes in general tend to be harder for those groups, because the books lately have been telling you a lot of those tips, right? Like, the... What's the name of the new wizard class? Shire?
They're hard to pronounce.
Okay.
I think that's the name.
Okay. So you have your little familiar guy that goes and negotiates for your powers every day. Like, a good DM can totally take that and, like, oh, you want this other power for today? Because it'd probably be really useful, but it'll cost you this. But this is totally negotiated at the table.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the big problem with that class is that there's kind of an implication that if you aren't nice to your little familiar, they'll stop hooking you up with spells.
Right.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of story. And I love that, but mechanically it's like, no, you would never do that.
And I think it comes down to a trust group. Like, if you trust your group and everyone's on board, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to become more respectful of the old ways.
Well, no.
I mean, I have to, because I don't quite understand it. Because, I mean, I run what we called here in Germany, Jared's Fantasy Game. Because when I did the Stupid Monsters article, I read so many monster manuals for a game I didn't play. And somehow it infected my brain, and the goal became, okay, I'm going to make a fantasy role-playing game that's cool. And because, you know, as, well, since it's been, you know, basically, you know, if you don't play D&D and you never get exposed to that, it's the other that you make fun of. You know, and so I ended up making this whole setting and game, and that's kind of what we play. But the thing is, it's based on not knowing
anything about the core D&D, but only what everyone knows about D&D when they don't play D&D.
Right.
If that makes any sense. So it's just really weird, you know, coming at it from the... It's amazing what people who don't play D&D actually know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I didn't play D&D for a long time, but I still knew a lot of stuff because my brother played. And then in college, my friends and my boyfriend, now husband, played. So I know a lot.
Brian, what edition did you start with?
I started with second edition. Okay. Early, yeah, it was second edition was technically the first game I played.
Mm-hmm. So there were no demons and devils in yours. It was Tannery and...
Outsiders!
Iadazu, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, I've played... As I get older, I played some of the earlier first edition stuff, just to see what it was all about. But, yeah, I started with second. So, yeah, it was all Tannery and Iadazu and all that, so...
See, now, I start... D&D for me is AD&D, you know, first edition. And those are the all, and it was one of those things that we knew as we played it that there were huge gaps and, well, this doesn't make any sense or this is totally unbalanced, and but we just hammered it into shape. You know, yeah. If something didn't fit, we just hammered it until it worked, you know, and we didn't think about it. And, you know, I kind of hope that whatever comes along next does have some kind of eye towards balance. You know, as you progress, but I, you know, at the same time, I want these things kind of
broken.
A little, maybe.
No,
just
no, no.
A little,
I'm not criticizing.
You know?
I'm not.
No,
criticizing.
I know you're not. I think I'm just coming to the realization as you say that. I think I'm. You know, I'm actually trying to admit as it's sort of a realization that, you know, maybe we liked it just a little broken.
Dude, we did. I firmly believe that there should be monsters. There should be creatures in D&D that just are a little unfair.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They should be. I mean,
thank you, Fourth Core.
There needs to be things that will hit you like a truck, and if you don't make this saving throw, you're going to die. Because, that's the whole thing to me. It's a role-playing game, and it's about these larger-than-life people going on these larger-than-life adventures. Mm-hmm. You've raised the stakes. You know, this isn't a game about you know, plowing your fields, planting crops, you know, having dinner with your wife and going to bed. Right. It's a game about...
That's free market.
Hey, now, listen, every game is fine and people should not...
But, you know, I think that at the same time... But I think there is because of... And I know this may not be a popular opinion, but I think because of video games... There is this leveling mentality that the whole idea of the game is to level up and get more stuff and level up again.
But I thought that was the D&D mentality.
No.
Well, that's what the video game players think.
Well, exactly. And see, that's why it's not going to be a popular opinion.
Okay.
But with us, it was, you know, you do the story. Leveling was cool because you did get to do some more things. But it didn't mean you were going to get new magic items. You never knew when you were going to find the next magic item, and half the time it wasn't going to be something that was perfect for your character anyway. You know, you would find a use for it, by God, or you would sell that shit and do something else with it. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, but that was what you found in the story. You were in the Fire Giant's Hold, and if you found something that would be logical for the Fire Giant's Hold, great. But that doesn't mean it was your favorite wish thing from, you know...
But a lot of times there would be a follow-up. There could be a follow-up quest where you then made that into what it is you really wanted. Or found a way to trade it. It depends on your DM, but I know DMs who would allow that, even then.
Maybe so.
I'm sensing some anger here. What was your childhood like?
You're talking to me or Tracy?
Oh, you know who I'm talking to.
Who's angry? I'm not
no,
angry.
No, the veteran.
The veteran.
Nice.
The Grognard.
I like that. That's good.
The veteran. The soldier.
This is how we played it. You're going to enjoy it too.
I am coming off a little bit as a grognard, and I should.
No. It's just you're passionate, and I'm just kind of curious. Like, don't censor yourself. You know.
No, I just
unleash the snark of war.
The inner grognard. Yeah.
No, not that.
I just think that there is a. I'm not saying it's on purpose. I don't think the game was designed in that way. But I think with 4th edition, I think it's very easy to put a video game veneer on it you're playing it, as opposed to the way, at least I felt it used to be, which is more of a story. And, okay, we're going to do this weird. Even the modules were written in such a way that it was, I mean, it was like, here's this weird place, you know, there's some weird rooms in it, and there's pretty freaking weird monsters in it, and they don't always, you know, why are there salamanders hanging out with the drow at the same, you know, it doesn't make any sense, but, you know, it's, but in some kind of weird way, I guess it does, because, and so, I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain or to
Gygaxian dungeons.
You know, in a way, it is, and like, but they were horribly flawed, and I think maybe that was the beauty of it, because they were all horribly flawed, and it's like, but it gave that, because it was horribly flawed, it added that fantastical element to it. It didn't necessarily make logical sense, and so, you know, it's like, okay, well, obviously we're playing a fantasy game, because this does not make any sense at all. Yeah.
And after 20 years, if something makes logical sense, most of the players are going to guess at the table, and therefore they're never going to be surprised. And part of the thing that's always been a big part of D&D is being able to surprise your players. That's why we have a DM. That's why the DM has a screen, and you don't know what's coming.
Right. So when you guys... You're literally using the screen?
I use the screen.
Okay.
I don't anymore, but that's because I'm short.
I said I am short too, but I sit on a bar stool. So I sit above the rest of my players.
I have appendages that knock the screen over.
Are they arms?
Oh.
Unless he's sitting cross-legged on the table.
Good. Like, I unleash my pedipalps of gaming.
My boot plate gets in the way.
Oh, Lexi.
Oh, man.
I should probably upgrade to the chainmail bikini.
It chafes my nipples. I can't wear one of those.
Oh, man. I
That's why you wear padding underneath. Oh, do you not know how to use chainmail?
Apparently not. Yeah. I apparently don't.
I need someone to teach me.
I'm doing it wrong. Brian, if you draw me in chainmail, I will come to Tennessee and fucking leave.
Brian, there's something in it for you.
See,
if you
he didn't say it for me, so enjoy your flight. Man.
I hear scribbling of pens on paper. Well, wait, he doesn't use paper, does he? Brian's very quiet now.
No.
I'm just quiet because I'm scanning in Dagger McStab Stab.
No, I wouldn't do that to you, Randall.
Anyone else you wouldn't do it to?
Sounds believable.
Yeah.
If that helps you sleep at night, sure.
Yeah. Well, wait. No. Don't worry. You know, we'll draw you with the chainmail. We'll just cut the nipples out. That'll solve the problem, right?
That'll be awesome.
Oh, God.
For a given value of awesome. God.
The number of people... Yeah. Anyways,
we're going to have to put a not safe for work on this one, aren't we, Tracy?
I guess it's a little worse than I normally am. I didn't swear too much during this one, though.
No, I've been doing more swearing than anyone else, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, fucking shitballs. Damn, I gotta work faster.
See, now when Sam edits, he beeps over that stuff.
Oh, I'm not doing that.
Oh, man.
He goes, beep, 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 beep.
Oh, I wish I'd known that. I hadn't listened to one of those. I'd missed the beeping.
I'll have to figure out how to put the explicit tag on for adult content and language.
Yes, That's
yeah,
right.
just put a breast there. People will know. See that image? They'll know it's not safe for
the
work.
The most popular podcast ever.
This one gets four boobies.
Oh, man.
Why is it always breasts? Why can't I have what I want?
Well, fine. It can be, I don't know what, 3.5 erect phalluses. How about that?
Tonight's podcast is sponsored by Testicle Weekly. Testicle Weekly. It's the sack to keep your dice. Oh, man. I just got a product idea, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
So I'm guessing we should probably wrap up because it's about midnight here in Eastern.
Yeah, the sun's coming up.
Oh.
Because I'm podcasting from the future.
Did you get any sleep at all today, dude?
Oh, yeah.
I know twice you said, well, I'm getting off Twitter now to go to sleep, but it's
Well, the thing is that I'm typically nocturnal anyway. Yeah. So, like, this isn't a big deal. The problem is I have an appointment in 3 hours. Meaning I have to be more nocturnal than usual. That's a real sentence, sure.
Sure.
So you're an owlbear?
I'm an owlbear?
Aren't they nocturnal?
It's entirely possible.
Yeah.
In your campaigns.
Okay.
My scanner hates you, Brian.
It's not the first and won't be the last.
No. Oh my god, it keeps cutting off your illustration.
So,
which makes great radio, I'm sure. Technical support with Jared.
So we can, I guess, wrap up. So Jared, I know you already said a little bit before, but where can people find you?
I have a website called headinjurytheater.com that is in current disrepair. You can also find me on Twitter, where I post too many times, at Jared von Hindemann.
Sweet. Brian?
People can find me at d20monkey.com. New comics post on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Ooh. And they can also find me on Twitter, where I'm usually just doing tuba solos and saying hey girl or making dick jokes.
I was going to say, got to remember the dick jokes.
Yeah,
I love the tuba solo, and I can't find the Bloom County comic that reminds me of. And I've so wanted to post a copy of that for you, and I have not found it yet online.
I'm gonna one you're talking about, though.
I know, and I'm going to have to get one of my old Bloom County books and scan it in to be able to do that. And so, but I love that. It's like, Sting and the boys would like a word with you.
Man.
Sweet.
But this has been great.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
A good DM roundtable with some fantastic artists today. So,
totally.
No, thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah. Thank you for popping my cherry.
Yeah. You know, your voice doesn't sound anything like I thought it was going to.
Oh, should I start singing about the tarantula bat?
No. That was great. I actually listened to that earlier to prepare myself ahead of time. So it was like, oh, well, that's not too bad. He almost sounds like me. Yeah, take that as you will. That's fine.
Yeah. You know what? On that, I'm out. I'll talk to you guys another time. And yes.
So everybody say goodnight?
Good night.
Good night.
Stop recording. So.